America Meditating Radio Show, we collect wisdom, inspire each other, and empower hearts 24/7. Hi, I'm Sister Jenna. Join me and guests on Blog Talk Radio as we amplify stories that compel us to be more for ourselves and everyone else around us.
Are you in need of a tech service company that's going to deliver the best solutions for your business? Finatronica is your solutions headquarters. Here we specialize in your individual needs to make sure your business shines. For more information, please call 301-417-0070 or visit us at our website at atronica.net. Atronica, where we deliver for you.
Do you like to meditate? Have you tried to meditate? Have you struggled with meditation? Why don't you visit one of the Brahma Kumaris Meditation Center? Visit brahmakumaris.org.
In 1987, some first graders were promised a college education. This came from Oral Lee Brown, who saved a large portion of her modest income, sending 19 kids to college, helping others. Pass it on from the Foundation for a Better Life at values.com.
Hi, I'm Angela Peabody of Global Woman Peace Foundation, and I listen to America's Meditating Radio Show.
I'm Ivy Hilton, and you are listening to America Meditating Radio Show.
The Meditation Museum in Silver Spring, Maryland, offers a variety of courses and activities to make your life go a whole lot smoother. Located at 9525 Georgia Avenue, you will be able to experience the beautiful silence that's in the space. There are courses in Raja Yoga meditation, positive thinking, stress-free living, and personal development classes. For more information, call us at 301-588-0144 or visit us online at meditationmuseum.org. Hello, my friends, and welcome to America Meditating Radio. I'm your host, Sister Jenna, and next to me is the lovely Sister Gita. I hope today finds you well and everything is all cleared up and you were enjoying the beautiful sunshine, but more than anything else, the sunshine within your own consciousness. Life continues to unfold beautifully if we are opened to celebrating it. No matter if it seems to be going the way you want or the way that you think it should have turned out, there's something to celebrate. There's always something to celebrate if you look for that along the way. But if you look for what's broken and what's not working and what is bad, then that energy will keep vibrating inside of you as a frequency. And without any effort on your side, you will keep bringing that energy in front of you to keep you where you're at. And this is why I'm calling on all of my wonderful listeners to keep celebrating what is working for you, to celebrate what is good and what can be even better. And even when you're able to perhaps write on a list what's working and what's not working, always try to see if there's a way in which you can even make what's not working work. Because even what's working can actually find itself in the not working category because of something that we've either experienced or endured or something that is being triggered from somewhere deep, deep in the past. We are not who we are just because of 5, 10, 20, 30, 40 years of living. We are who we are because hundreds of years of soul living or thousands of years of soul living. In my concept or understanding, I sense that just like how there are 24 hours in a day, there must be a certain amount of years in a soul sort of cycle. What if it is a 5,000-year soul cycle? What if the oldest souls on the planet that are traveling, they will go through their rejuvenation after 5,000 years? Wouldn't that be remarkable? But can you even remember what happened to you 5 years ago in detail? No. But the energy of everything that you went through 5 years ago is still sitting inside of your vibrational field or your frequency. And if for whatever reason you said something, did something, or didn't do something at a time of need, do you feel bad about it? Are you walking around with guilt, shame, fear, anger, frustration? Because that energy is sitting in the subconscious and it's holding us back from celebration. It's holding us back from celebration. I leave you with that to ponder on. Stay tuned. We're going to have Penny Pierce on. And before I get Penny, I would love to hear what Sister Gita has for us to read today. And then we'll do a beautiful meditation on the power of soul consciousness by the beautiful Sister Jenti of the Brahma Kumaris in the United Kingdom. Sister Gita?
Good day to all of us. Beautiful, beautiful souls. Very good introduction, Sister Jenna. I know exactly what that is, what's sitting in us, and what are our original qualities. That's purity, peace, love, joy, and strength, the truth. The other things are acquired. Taken from a pocketbook of wisdom, let's tune in to character. When you build a house, every brick counts. When you build character, every single thought counts. You are what you think. Love, peace, wisdom. The more you think of these qualities, the more you will become them because they are already there. Om Shanti. Have a pensive day.
Experimenting with these exercises, one is able to discover the sweetness and the beauty that lies in knowing the self. The more I know myself, the more I'm able to maintain the awareness of my true identity and move away from all the different compartments and limitations that I have imposed on myself. The image that we generally have of ourselves is a fairly negative one. But that's simply because we don't know who we are. And so we allow external influences to restrict our thinking and put us into boxes and create bondages and feel the pain of those bondages. Meditation is the method of liberation, of becoming free from the false impositions that I have created for myself and I have accepted in terms of what the world has imposed. It is important to experiment with these ideas, sitting quietly, in solitude, in silence within. However, it is equally important to experiment with these concepts during our day-to-day activity. Having had a glimpse of the identity of the self, then, when it's time to leave my little corner of meditation and move into the world outside, I must learn to maintain this awareness of being a point of light, using the physical instrument to look out into the world, using the lips to express my thoughts and ideas, to communicate with others, being the master, listening to the information that I receive, but being the master, deciding, discerning what it is which has value, what it is that will enhance my own awareness, retaining that information, communicating that information, but also being able to filter out that which will pollute my mind, that which will cause my feelings to become corrupt, so that I maintain the integrity of this experience of eternal consciousness. Both things are aligned together. My time in silence, experiencing the eternity of the self, but using this awareness in my day-to-day activity. If through the day I maintain this awareness, then whenever there is a moment at which actions can finish, I could turn inwards and come to the state of Om Shanti. And the awareness of Om Shanti, the awareness of peace, is also then expressed through the work that I do during the day. Om Shanti.
Welcome back, everyone. That was Lone Space by Bliss, and we listened to Sister Genty on what is soul consciousness and how to be able to move around and feel who we really are in motion. And of course, we loved hearing the readings by our beautiful Sister Gita. Well, now we'd like to welcome Penny Pierce, and Penny is a world-renowned intuitive empath who is one of the early pioneers in the intuition development movement, popular author, lecturer, counselor, and trainer. Penny specializes in intuition and sensitivity development, skillful perception, personal energy, and frequency training. She travels widely, working throughout the U.S., which also in countries like Japan, South Africa, and Europe, as an advisor to business executives, scientists, psychologists, and other consultants and trainers, and those on a spiritual path. She has counseled tens of thousands of people worldwide about life and business, and much more. Today we welcome Penny to the America Meditating Radio. Hi, Penny.
Hello. Nice to be here with you.
Same here. So tell me, what am I thinking?
See how I put you on the spot? I'm so sorry. That was just too easy.
So glad that we could have you on the air today, Penny. I want to get right into our conversation because there's so much in this particular area that many individuals are still not very knowledgeable about, and you're one of the pioneers in that area. You've written a book called Leap of Perception, The Transforming Power of Your Attention, which I love. It's the third in your transformation trilogy. What are some of the main premises in this book that can help us to understand ourselves a whole lot more?
I think since it's the last book, it's fairly sophisticated, and it builds upon my previous book, Frequency, The Power of Personal Vibration, and the first book, which is The Intuitive Way, which is a course on intuition development. But what's happening, I think, in the world is an acceleration of vibration in the planet itself, which then accelerates the vibration of our bodies. And then that, you know, accelerates our emotions and our thinking and, you know, just everything. And there is a process that we're going through, and it is the transformation process, where we're actually moving out of one kind of reality that we're so familiar with into a totally new one that has different rules and works differently. And so frequency kind of sets the ground for understanding that things are vibrational now. We're working with energy and consciousness. And then as that becomes more normal, you see, then the leap of perception talks about how we're actually changing from a kind of linear perception where we have past, present, future, you know, everything's on a line, we have plot lines and all of that kind of thing, and moving into something that is much more all at once, where everything is spherical, it's all in the present moment.
Right.
There is no future, because the future's just really a potential reality in your present moment at a different frequency from the one you're in at the moment, you know. And if you could change your frequency to match that other one, you'd be there. It doesn't take time anymore. It's not a sequential process. So what I've been trying to do with this whole trilogy really is help people understand what's happening to them. You know, everything really is shifting out of, you know, the information age into what I've been calling the intuition age, because we're using our right brain more now, our body, our heart, even our energy field is conscious.
You know, it's funny that you're mentioning this. I have to tell you how I came across your book. A friend of mine in my spiritual community of the Brahma Kumaris had heard about, you know, all the awards and stuff that was happening for me last year and reached out to me from Boston, and he owns a sign store. And he said, "Sister Jenna, have you read this book? Do you know who Penny Pierce is?" I says, "I've never heard of her." And he said, "I'm so sorry."
No, that's right. I mean, it's true.
And he said, "But she's talking spot on about the age that we're moving in, the age of intuition, what we have been working on within ourselves to clean out what we call in Hindi is chit, which are the deep impressions of our past stories," that she's saying that once those are cleaned out, we will move into this future age where we're more intuitive, we don't have to think so much, and that, yes, we are in a cyclical consciousness rather than just a beginning and an end. And this is when I said, "I've got to find her. Who is she? Could you send me the information?" So when I heard that you were going to be on the air with me, I was so thrilled, because I know that what you're saying, it is so important for us to gain deeper insights, because we don't know much about it, at least mainstream doesn't, but it will answer a lot of questions. Now, I want to go into this particular part of the conversation, because you've said that we're in the midst of a transformation process, as you mentioned earlier. It's at both a personal and societal level. And you call the shift from the information age to the intuitive age. Elaborate a little bit more on that, because when you said the rules are going to change, I just immediately went to, when I came into my spirituality, how everything changed for me, and where you might have kind of struggled sometimes, or you fought with some of the ships that you had to maintain, you knew that it was going to take you to your next destination. Could you elaborate a little bit more on what does this mean and what we're transforming into more in detail?
Yeah, it's a subject of three whole books, so let me try to get my words around
well,
it.
Well, in essence, we can have it
but,
and have other parts.
You know, I think that a lot of it has to do with this very powerful, it's almost like we're being sucked into the present moment entirely. That means that you can't project anymore outside of that present moment, and reality becomes more like a sphere or a ball around you. And that ball, you're in the center of it all the time. You never leave the center. So that the ball can expand and contract and encompass more or less of the totality of the body of knowledge in the unified field in terms of physics, you know. And that determines, again, a frequency, but it also determines a kind of knowing. If you slow your frequency down, things become more physical and dense. If you raise it up and go faster, they become lighter and thinner, and there's not much sense of time at all.
So what's happening, I think, is that the spiritual realm, which is a very high frequency, is starting to actually match the physical, because the physical is raising up in its vibration, and so they're closer together. And they're now starting really to interpenetrate, which they've always been, you know. But we're starting to be able to sense it because we in our bodies are becoming ultra-sensitive now and very. So we're feeling subtle forms of information, like energy information, I call it. You know, it's not in words. It's telepathy, it's clairvoyance, it's direct feeling, direct knowing. And this is going to become much more normal. It already is. With many people.
It kind of scares me, though, because on one side of the spectrum, there is a very high energy of a lower level of frequency. I call it algae consciousness, Penny. Mm-hmm. A for anger, L for lust, G for greed, A for attachment, E for ego, and all the cousins that follow suit along with algae. And so if that energy is at an all-time high, and I am becoming way overly, you know, empathic, isn't that going to really disturb my world at a deeper level? That's one question. And the second question is, how can we have a link to a higher source of consciousness, which we might call gratitude or appreciation or God or the Supreme Being, where we protect ourselves from being influenced by such a current? Any thoughts on that?
Yes. Well, first of all, what you're talking about is sort of predicated on the idea that there's an outside world separate mm-hmm. from you, that it can do something to you. And in the new consciousness, there is no outside world. It's all in your ball. You know, it's all in your reality. It's different frequencies of the totality of humanity. And your job is to sit there and focus your attention on whatever part of that you feel like playing with. If you want to play with negative, you know, kind of low-frequency energy and see what that does, you can. If you want to play with easy materialization of great realities, you can. That's free will. And so to say that there's an sort of a negative force out there that can disrupt us, to me, I don't believe in that anymore, really. I don't think it's really true.
I'm not talking about the external world. I'm saying that inside of our beings, we are living out some of this algae consciousness, and it is vibrating. So on a soul-to-soul level, we are picking up that vibration, and that is also interfering with our body, and we can feel that. So my question is there a link to a higher being, a higher power,
yeah.
that can protect the consciousness from being influenced by that vibration?
Well, see, yes. I mean, when you use the word link and protect, you see, that's still coming out of an unconscious idea that there's a separate world that we have to protect ourselves from. What I'm saying is that the whole thing right now is about learning to be centered and get inside the center of that ball and then get quiet and really feel, I call it your home frequency. It's like the vibration of the soul in the body, and it's always there. It never goes away. There's no link. It's as soon as you stop focusing on the low frequency, separated, linear consciousness, you're in the other one. You see, and it's not a big deal. It's not hard. You just have to remember to do it again and again until you program your body, and, you know, that this is the new normal that I'm living in. So really, it's all about remembering that we are at choice about how we want to feel, and that even if there's suffering in the world, I can still feel the truth of spirit, and I can see if I want to do something about helping the homeless person or the stray dog or whatever it is, so that I feel like there is an increase in, you know, the subconscious stuff, the old suppressed information that is fear-based. That is part of the transformation process right now. It's like Pandora's box is opening at this point, because the acceleration on the planet means the energy is so high that there is no place for that stuff to really be stored anymore where it's invisible. And so it's all popping up to the surface like popcorn going off, you know, and coming into the conscious mind. And that means in a personal situation, it might reenact in someone's life. In a societal level, it's like in politics or in the news. We're seeing it happening everywhere. And then because we're so ultra-sensitive, we're feeling other people's, you know, negativity as our own also. And so what we have to do right now is don't focus on that so much and get centered again, back into the way we want to feel, stabilize. Then we'll see what wants to be done, you know, whether it's to be innovative and just keep leading the way as a thought leader, or, you know, or heal someone or provide food for people or whatever it would be, you know.
Sure.
So I got it. Technology. You talk about the problems that we're facing today concerning fragmented, shallow attention, you know, distraction and attention deficit. So much of this is caused by our technology, isn't it? So how can we remedy this? And would you say that technology is good or bad? What's the role of technology in the power of our intuition? Because I look at the smartphone or the iPhone in particular, and I find it to be very intuitive in the way that it facilitates my way of operating. But that might not be true for everyone. Love your spin on this.
Yeah, I don't think technology is bad. I think what's happening, though, is that it's involved in the acceleration. And, you know, if you look back, we had the industrial age first, you know, back here, you know, where we had the printing press, you know, and then machines, and they were making things go faster. And then we got computers, and that really made things go faster until it kind of precipitated us into the information age. And then that started getting faster when the internet came, and, you know, it's like the cell phones and the iPhones and the, you know, it's like information now is, you know, it's a glut. There's so much, you can't process it in a linear fashion anymore. So what's happening there is that things are becoming more intuitive. It's normal to have information now. But what I see is a little disruptive is that people are relying on the gadgets for the, you know, access to the information, when really they need to be focusing inside their own bodies to understand, hey, wait a minute, I'm already highly intuitive and empathic and telepathic, and I can know things just by asking.
Yes,
you know, but we're getting used to the
agree.
Idea of it in the physical world by having these phones that say, oh, you want something, look it up online, ding, there it is, you know. And the speed is outstanding, really.
But it's
about dependence, and that is one thing I don't like about it. I would like to see more intuition training and energy training going on for young people, because they do know a lot about this, but they're getting addicted to, you know, the machines.
I agree.
You know, and the other thing is that because everything's going so fast, there's so much to pay attention to, and this is at the end of the information age where the mind is getting split, trying to process it all in a linear fashion. It's like multitasking to the max, you know, that what happens there is that we end up getting very fragmented and shallow, and nobody's paying attention to what's deep. Nobody's going into silence because it's boring. You know, like they've got to have stimulation constantly. And if you have that, it blocks you from going into the silence where you can actually feel the soul and get the good information that you need, you know.
Well, we had a snowstorm in Washington recently, and there were five of us in the house, and we all got along so well. And it was very easy to even pick up if there was one particular person holding a negative or a waste thought with anyone in the space. And there was one moment where we felt someone's judgment, and the few of us talked about it and said how we could feel that, because the four of us are so united in the way that we serve and are in purpose. And so I was asking them, so what are you learning from that? Go where we were learning that thoughts are very sensitive and they do impact us in different ways, but that our vibration of positivity could transform also their thoughts. That was one. Mm-hmm. But then I also got about three or four text messages from people in which all of this lockdown that they were under for 3-4 days was re-emerging some dirt inside of them, that they were just feeling so nasty inside of themselves that they didn't want to stay in that space anymore. So when you're saying that folks were not comfortable with the silence or just not comfortable with looking at themselves, I see that they're touching that frequency that they're living from, which might not be of a higher level. And I want us to talk a little bit about the whole awareness of frequency. I mean, how does living in our home frequency, what you call saturating with soul, cause us to find and fulfill our destiny? I mean, do you think destiny is different from what some people call life purpose?
Good question. I think that what those people are going through that were feeling uncomfortable in the lockdown is that when you can't jump away and be distracted and you're in the quiet or in the silence, then you need to face what's coming up that's in the way of the soul, which is all the ideas about limitation and how you aren't good or how you aren't the soul, you know. And that is part of the transformation process. This is the Pandora's box stuff that's opening that we have to look at and see that it's not really true and reaffirm that who we really are, which is the home frequency vibration. And that's just the feeling you have when you feel good about yourself, like you like yourself, you know. It's like a little kid full of themselves making a watercolor finger painting or something, you know. And that's the natural state, where it's not about achievement and having to be somebody to be good or please people. It's because you just are, you know. And when you feel that sense of the soul, really, it's I sometimes call it positive narcissism. You know, it's like, I love myself, you know. And then you just feel so good, and you just enjoy it all, you know. And that is
sure.
the state we're aiming for. But there are things in the way, which is our programming, what we learned from our parents who were wounded, you know, and what we learned from TV and all the negative things in movies. And, you know, we're surrounded by almost, you know, reality TV was a symptom of the unconscious, subconscious unloading.
Mm-hmm.
Like, let's look at all this stuff and then, you know, identify with it and think it's great, you know, to
yeah,
be catty
amazing.
And nasty to other people.
Oh,
but that
don't
was
talk
just
about reality
symptom.
TV to me. That's a whole different
genre. I know, it's awful, but it's what's
mm-hmm.
it's a part of what's rising to be gotten rid of. And it takes
right.
a cycle before we all get revolted by it and just don't want to do it. It's boring anymore. And then we want something better. And I think
I like
that we will always want something better, you know. The titillating nature of the adrenaline rush is there temporarily, and that's what we're seeing in films and things right now and in TV. I was just watching that X-Files to see what it was like now, and it was just so awful, you know, just awful.
Really?
And,
I like that, though. I mean, something that you said that stood out for me, you have to go through your cycle until you get fed up of it. And
mm-hmm.
yes, you have to get into that place where you can no longer feed that lower frequency because it's just not your value. Everyone has value.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we have moved away consciously from the value, but as you mentioned, the age is changing. So from a linear thing of a beginning, middle, and end to a cyclical process that your divinity, your power, your truth, your dignity, your purpose, it's right now waiting just for you to step right into it in that next moment and that next thought. You know, so I love that. I love that.
And you
I
said something
you
about
said.
Destiny and life purpose. I think often
mm-hmm.
there are life lessons, like to balance ourselves out. Like if we've been too shy and reclusive in a lifetime, then maybe this time we need to get out there and learn to share and talk and trust the audience. And, you know, it's like balancing ourselves so that we become well-rounded and whole. But the destiny feels to me like it is the soul's natural self-expression. And it's not like a big mission. It's to do what you love and to let your life flow so that you remember spirit while you're in the body. You know, while we're here, this is the spiritual world also. We have it separated. But now part of the thing is it's all coming together. So spiritual and physical are the same thing. And they should work very much similarly, where you can materialize something pretty immediately and let it go immediately and have fun, you know, play.
I agree. It's time to celebrate. That's what I was saying earlier on in the show. And there are so many people that are still, and this has just been an observation, and I know this is from my producer, many people are really overly sensitive. They're extremely sensitive and they're very empathic. And they feel overwhelmed and somewhat paralyzed by negativity. What would you say to them? Like, why is it that they pick up negative energy, they become paralyzed and become so withdrawn from what I always tell them, show up to it so that you can build the qualities needed that nothing, no energy in you or around you can make you not be powerful. But what would you offer an individual who is super sensitive, picks up the negative vibe, goes into a recluse, can't deal with it? What's your answer to them?
Well, again, it's like what we said a little earlier about,
mm-hmm.
first of all, realizing the outside world is not really out there, that all
mm-hmm.
that's part of you, and you can pay attention to it and make it evil and hurtful and bad and then try to avoid it, and you just separate yourself more, you know. And so depression and, you know, illnesses a lot are because we feel separate. So the more you can unify yourself with anything and everything and allow it all to be, but then you have the right to put your attention on any part of it you want, and what you put your attention on becomes your reality. So the more you look at and resist negativity, the more it's in your world. You know, so, I mean, it's up to us to choose what we want to focus on. And nobody can
make
me feel bad if I don't want to feel that way.
The more we resist negativity, the more it lives inside of us.
Well, you're putting your attention on it.
You're putting your attention
right?
on it. Exactly.
And that's what comes to be real. That's why I put, you know, in Leap of Perception, the power of attention, not intention, because that's futurizing. Attention
Absolutely.
Is present moment.
Absolutely. Beautiful, beautiful. Penny, I want to tell you that I really appreciated our conversation. It was very, very important, and I think very, very beneficial for our listeners today on the air. You've got an open invitation to come to the museum and offer a conversation deeper into this and to do your book discussion, because I think we need more knowledge regarding this area to find our inner strength. So thank you so much for being with us on the air today.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
Before I let you go, leave us with a life quote and a website that we can find more information about you. And your work?
And my website is just my name, Penny Pierce, but it's spelled P-E-N-N-E-Y and then P-E-I-R-C-E, but it'll probably get there no matter how you spell it. And my quote, I guess, is the idea that things are a lot simpler than we're making them out to be, that it's a lot easier to shift into this new, you know, intuition age and new spherical holographic perception, which is what I wrote about in Leap of Perception, than we think.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a pathway to it. There are steps and, you know, we can do it in this
life. Beautiful.
Lifetime.
I agree. Thank you so very much. It was awesome having you on the air today.
Well, many blessings.
Take good care. We got many nuggets from Penny Pierce today, my friends, and I really want to emphasize you go to her website, Penny. Pierce.com. There's so much to understand in terms of what's going on in our spirit, in our inner being, and if we can just change and shift the way that we're viewing or interpreting the story, we can get there. And yes, I agree with Penny 100%. We are moving into the age of intuition, and we are becoming more spherical in our thinking, cyclical. There is no loss. There is no victory or defeat. There are just processes, moments that we really are going to endure and celebrate. Start celebrating, please. Start celebrating the good that you have created in your life. And what you don't feel is working for you, celebrate the fact that if you lean into it and look into it, it's going to give you a gift. It's going to give you a power that perhaps you've been missing in your narrative. Thank you for joining us on America Meditating Radio. Please feel free to go to HuffPost and Google Sister Jenna to participate in some of these conversations further. But do join us in the conversation on America Meditating Radio by tapping into subscription of the show. And remember, no one can take away your happiness unless you give them permission. And we are here to love each other the same. So if you're going to change the world, then change yourself. Take care, everyone. We're going to end with Sanatam Kaur today. All the best to all of you. Take care.